Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Today is a very big and very lovely day here on the Radio Cafe. We have lots of excellent guests, whom I'll introduce in a moment, but we also want to reintroduce the fact of today being the third day of the KSFR Summer Fun Drive. So if you haven't made a pledge yet, call 428-1393, 428-1393. And I am encouraging people to call, even if they just have a little bit of money, want to give 10, 20 bucks, whatever, want to give a small monthly donation to make a contribution. And the number is 428-1393. Now, I would like to welcome, it's an embarrassment of riches today, because we have both Diane Karp and Rob DeWalt with us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming in.
Double barrel.
Thank you.
And we have Elise Pierce, and she is the author of a new cookbook called Cowgirl Chef, Texas Cooking with a French Accent. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Can I interrupt just to say I'd like to make a challenge?
You just did.
That's how it's done, those of us who are in the arts. I'd like to make a personal challenge to all of the creative people in Santa Fe.
That's everybody.
Which is a $250 challenge. If we can make $250 in the next 15 minutes.
All right.
I'm going to lay down 250 bucks on the table as my gift to support KSFR, and in particular, the Radio Cafe.
Oh, that is very nice of you. Okay, well then, the phone is ringing, and I have on my Star Trek device here that tells me what's going on in the control room, I have news that the phone is ringing, but let's get it ringing more. 428-1393. 428-1393. Now, Elise, is that the phone, is that in the baking company, that phone ringing, or is it in the control room?
Is it my phone?
It's not mine.
Who knows?
It might be my phone. It might be the cowgirl phone.
It could be the sound of all KSFR listeners calling.
Whoever was calling, whoever's in the Santa Fe, Santa Fe Baking Company, call KSFR.
That's right.
428-1393. Call them.
428-1393. Now, you, Elise, are going to be, well, we'll talk about this in a minute. You're going to be giving some readings and events today and tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. I'm going to be at the farmer's market tomorrow doing, book signings and maybe a little reading.
Oh, okay,
maybe
good.
A little chat. Maybe a story here and there. So.
Well, your story is great. I mean, you are from Texas, and you ended up following true love to Paris, France.
It happens.
And then realized, as we all do sooner or later, that love does not conquer all. And if you don't actually have something to do, then...
And if you're just dirt broke and have no money and you know, pockets turned inside out, you've got to figure out something. So, yeah, I went back to the kitchen, which is the place that I've always felt really, really comfy in the kitchen. And I've always been, from way, way back, a baker and someone who would spend my mornings, I was a freelance writer, getting my homework done and my afternoons cooking for years and years and years. So it wasn't a big leap for me to say, well, the writing's not really working out. I think I'll just shift over and just devote my time to cooking and then writing about cooking. So,
well, you got in touch with a group of kind of other American expats in Paris who were... What happened? You brought them some guacamole or something?
Yeah, it was really funny. I mean, there was a small group, and I was desperate and without friends and just really without much hope at some point. And I had met through someone that I'd met by happenstance, an American, and so we would get together and try and help each other come up with ideas of what we could do to make money in Paris, because as it turns out, as I say in the book, it's not that unusual. You move with this big dream of having a life in France, and it's not always that easy. So in any case, yes, I brought guacamole and salsa and some empanadas I'd been playing around with to this little meeting, and at the time I thought, well, you know, I could teach yoga. That's what I'll do. I'll teach yoga in Paris. Well, if you've been to Paris, it's not really a yoga town. I mean, they take really long lunches and drink a lot of wine, and that's just not the top thing that people are doing. So they took a bite of the empanadas and started sampling the rest of what I'd brought, and they said, why are you not doing this? Why are you not making the foods that we also miss from home for the rest of us? So that's how it began.
And so then you started... somehow met somebody from the State Department who also wanted you to do...
Yeah, and it really was. It was very soon thereafter I met someone, and she said, this is a great idea. I love that you've started this business. I called it Cowgirl Tacos, and I came up with a menu of all sorts of Tex-Mex favorites. And she said, this is wonderful, but... have you thought about doing cooking classes? And I said, no, but I will. And so over the next day or two, I put together a menu of what I would teach over the next 4 weeks. She gathered together some friends, and I started teaching cooking classes and taught people how to make tortillas and salsas and things like that with what you could find in Paris. And that's how it kicked off.
It's interesting because the differences of just the ingredients that you can get in Europe, I mean, I remember... once I was a college student and I was in Italy for a semester, and I told the family that I was staying with that I was going to make them an apple pie, and I'm very good at making apple pies and pie crust, and it was impossible to get all the ingredients and the measuring and the shortening and the right kind of flour. It didn't work, and it was terrible.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had more failures than successes in the baking department. I mean, really, it just, because as you say, I mean, not only can you not find a lot of things, well, shortening, forget about that.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? Okay, we go to butter, so start there. But the flours are different. I mean, they're very different, and it's not even an apples to oranges kind of thing. It is apples to oranges, not apples to apples. It's like they grade the flour differently, and they have different kinds of sugar, and the butter, of course, that's a whole other story, too. A lot more fat in the butter, so... I would make batch after batch of chocolate chip cookies or whatever, and they would just spread all over the pan. It was really, really quite discouraging, but yeah.
4281393 is the fund drive number, and we're in the middle of a 15-minute challenge, which is not very long, but if you call in, we've got 5 and only 5 copies of the book Cowgirl Chef, Texas Cooking with a French Accent, so for a modest contribution to KSFR, which you can do as a monthly contribution, by the way, and sign up to pay, let's say, $10, $15 a month, whatever you can afford. 4281393. You get a copy of the book. Your life gets better because you get to make some of these recipes. And as you call it, Texas Cooking with a French Accent, you really internalized the cooking of France when you were there.
Absolutely. I mean, it really started out as you see if you've looked through the book, and if when you read the book, the stories also follow. That at the beginning, I was very homesick and making a lot of Tex-Mex favorites. But the longer I lived in France, the more time I spent at the markets and the stores, and just you just absorb it. You really do. And so my cooking style and the things that I started to crave shifted a little bit. I mean, now I'm back in the States doing this book tour, but I start to think about, well, gosh, I need to make a tart, you know. instead of tacos, my go-to now is some of these other more Frenchy things, and I've learned how to combine the two cuisines a little bit to make something that's a little bit them and a little bit me, and it makes sense most of the time. Sometimes it's a little wacky, but some of my tarts in the book have a real Tex-Mex flair. There's a Tex-Mex tart. There's one that I use chorizo.
What's in your tell us about your Tex-Mex tart?
The Tex-Mex tart is the one I believe with chorizo. I've got two tarts that are very Tex-Mexy. One is called Cowgirl Quiche. Actually, that's the one with chorizo. Sorry, I'm getting confused. The Cowgirl Quiche has chorizo and some cheese, and I make a crust with cornmeal. And then the Tex-Mex tart is the one that I actually use masa with. So I use masa, which is what you would make corn tortillas with,
right,
to make the tart shell. And then I put chicken. I use rotisserie chicken because that's widely available and easy in France. Refried black beans and cheddar cheese, which over there I think I used a mix perhaps of probably mozzarella and some cheddar and mimolette, which is an orangey cheese because I felt that orange was necessary. So really, and that's a tart. I'm calling it a tart, and it appears to be a tart, but it's a big taco really.
4281393 is the number. I see that we are halfway, just over halfway, to our $250 challenge. Diane Karp has laid 250 smackaroos on the table.
Come on, creative people. Besides salivating over all of these fabulous descriptions of food, please go to the phone, go to the website, donate. Donate what you can.
Go to the phone.
Go to the phone, go to the website, whichever, and donate whatever is comfortable for you.
428-1393 or toll-free 1-866-907-5737. 866-907-5737. 907-KSFR is the number. And it's funny sitting here with Elise Pierce talking about her Cowgirl Chef cookbook and Rob DeWalt, who's an amazing cook and food person and food critic, and Diane Karp, who's an amazing cook.
Who likes to eat, man.
And I just sort of, you know, dip my knife into the peanut butter jar and lick it off half the time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I do that too.
Green chili, grape jelly, and peanut butter.
At the same time, I mean, when you guys hear this, I would imagine that you've got some of this Rob DeWalt in your own life. Is that kind of mixing of the Southwestern and kind of European cuisines?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, spending more than 25 years in Santa Fe, but also, you know, being classically trained in French and Italian food. One of the things that I make that people crave every fall is apple tart tatin with green chili.
Oh my goodness!
Nice.
And
that sounds like
and
something
actually,
out of Elise's cookbook.
I have a friend from Brooklyn who sells babka around town, and our plan is to start selling mini green chili apple pies to a lot of the restaurants in town eventually. Because it's one of those things that people just love. It's a caramelized apple pie with green chili and a cheddar cheese crust, and it's just heavenly.
Okay, so I've got to go get something to eat. I'll be back later.
I love the idea of that tart tatin. It's wonderful with the green chili. So with the tart tatin as well, you do cheddar cheese on that, or do you do the caramel kind of?
No. We just I make the caramel. And then I cook the apples a little bit in it.
Right.
And then I throw the chopped green chili in it. And what the caramel does is it kind of mellows out even the hottest green chili.
Right.
You would think that it being sweet, well, we could go on about this.
And it acts like glue to kind of bring it all together anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds
great.
And then a cheddar cheese crust.
Yeah.
Sour
New Mexico apples.
So we have to wait for fall for that one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We use New Mexico apples.
I was going to say, we're almost at our $250 challenge.
428-1393.
We're just short of it. The phone's been ringing, but let's get it ringing some more. And the thing is, the first five people who make a contribution to get this book. And after that, it's sold out. You can also, of course, go to Collected Works. You can go to the farmer's market tomorrow morning where Elise will be speaking. But this is the only time that you can also make a contribution to the KSFR Fund Drive. So, 428-1393. One of the things that is nice about your book is that you are not, as you say, it's not a super, in most cases, it's not a super precise art. Like, you don't say, oh, you have to use one medium large onion or whatever. You just say, use an onion, and you're going to use it to your own taste anyway. And so there's a kind of, like, you give the reader or the cook who's using your book some license to kind of find their own taste.
Exactly, and I tried to do that. I mean, I've grown up around people that are not that way at all. My mother is a
measure everything.
Oh my goodness! And if she doesn't have an ingredient, she will go down to the store, which in her case is a 20-minute drive, and pick up that extra onion or whatever. If it says garlic, it says garlic, and she's going to not substitute with an onion if it says garlic or whatever. And as I say in the book, you know, I learned how to do this. I wasn't a big recipe follower anyway, but I loosened up my cooking style a lot more because it's just a matter of convenience and practicality. The stores are only open till a certain time, or you can't go get something after 8 o'clock at night. So you use what you have, and you use how
Europe,
much you have.
In Europe, the stores close.
They do. Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can sit there and bang on the door all you want.
Yeah,
no
and
one,
you can. And you.
No
you,
one's
there's
coming.
Not going to be an all night Albertsons anywhere.
Forget about it. Just forget about it. So you use what you have, and you substitute, and you swap out, and it actually makes for a much more interesting and fun style of cooking, I think. So.
I think it allows people to sort of learn how to cook more intuitively, anyway.
Absolutely.
You know.
Which is
the
which
food
works
always
well.
Tastes better that way.
Well, it works better that way if you have a good taste, if you have a good sense of food. Mm-hmm. I know people who don't have a good sense of food, and, you know, you just beg them to please follow the recipe to the letter. And when they do, it comes out better. 428-1393. We've got lots of thank yous. So let's go to Marilyn LeBlanc in the control room.
Yes, James Podesta from St. Elizabeth's Shelter.
Oh, thank you.
Elaine Pinkerton Coleman.
Yay.
Lots of Anonymous.
Oh, thank you, Anonymous.
And Fran Martone.
Thank you, Fran.
Dorothy called from Collected Works and wants to welcome Elise Pierce to Santa Fe, and she'll be taking her to the farmer's market on Saturday.
Have we made our goal yet of 250?
Not quite, but there's one more person, Liz Besson, who is really into this challenge. And we have, I think, is it 250, Diane?
Yes.
So we have $5 more.
Oh, come on.
$5 more.
Somebody could give $5.
Come on. $5.
No, it's $25. My math is a little short.
Okay, $25.
I'm calling in all my chits here, folks. All those organizations and people that I support, send it in.
428-1393, 428-1393. And this book is so much fun. It's also a really nicely made book. It feels good in your hands. It's a hardcover, but it doesn't have one of those, what are they called, paper things on
dust
it.
Dust jackets.
Dust jackets,
right.
Thank you.
Only on cookbooks, I think they're called flower jackets.
Yeah, flower jackets.
And there's splatter all these, jackets.
There's all these great pictures of food and of Paris and of your life there a little bit, of cars and things like that. And one of the things that's really important and interesting about, again, I gave my mom a German cookbook once because she's German, and all the measures in it are weight instead of volume, and you use both.
They made me do that. But actually, I do cook that way. I mean, living over there and also another thing that I did to sort of acclimate and really absorb the culture, I started looking at all the French food magazines, buying French cookbooks, which is how I learned some French. But yes, and things are measured out there.
Right.
So you buy a scale and things are in grams and whatever. And so because the book is going to be sold internationally, that's why it's
But it's there. Really helpful. Because when you move between altitude, you have all those issues about the fat and the eggs and the water to adjust to. But it's also the volume changes because of the altitude, because of the change of pressure. Mm-hmm. And if you go by weight, it keeps it more standardized. So I tend to cook often with a scale.
Do you?
Yeah.
I baked yesterday, and I thought, high altitude baking. This is a whole other thing, too.
Oh, baby.
And there's a whole cookbook about it called Pie in the Sky. It's a high altitude baking cookbook. So 428-1393. We keep giving the number because I do not have evidence that we've made our challenge yet, so let's go for it. The thing also, I mean, when I was learning to make pie and all that stuff, we sifted the flour and sometimes sifted it twice, and that makes for a lot less volume. And so I'm wondering how that works in terms of weight. Do they not sift their flour in Paris?
Yeah. I want to hear what you have to say about this sifting of the flour, because I just heard a couple of days ago, I was talking to someone about this. I taught a cooking class in Fort Worth, and what she was saying was the reason why we used to sift the flour, or the reason why sour flipping start with sour flour sifting, I can't even say it, give me more coffee, is to get the bugs out of flour back in the day, and that it doesn't really do anything other than separate the junk out of the flour. Oh,
yeah.
Is that correct?
I think for most things that's true, but there are some things where sifting is beneficial to a recipe, like crepes, Yorkshire puddings, things where you really don't necessarily want the batter to be lumpy, because it cooks so quickly that you know it needs to be fairly smooth. But for the most part, sifting flour is sort of a waste of time.
A good thing if you have children in the kitchen.
You
give
can
them a sifter in a big bowl, and they feel like they're participating.
You can
sift,
as long as your hands are clean.
No, you can usually just sift with your fingers.
Do you do that? You sift with your fingers?
Yeah, I just put the flour in my hands, and I just kind of go like this with my fingers like that, and it gets most of the lumps out like that.
I use a whisk.
You use a whisk?
I just put mine in the bowl and use a whisk.
Oh, that's
yes.
really efficient. I have found bugs in the flour and started keeping the flour in the freezer in glass jars, and that seems to do the trick. I think have we made our challenge? Mary Lynn will tell us in a moment whether we have, but we have to keep reminding people this is the KSFR Fun Drive and that you should get this book. Cowgirl Chef, 428-1393. Now, let's talk about butter for a second. Butter being perhaps the best thing ever.
Next to bacon.
And chocolate.
And chocolate.
And coffee.
Those are the four food groups.
Four food groups.
Mm-hmm. Butter, bacon, chocolate, and coffee, ladies and gentlemen. This is not... I'm actually on a health diet, so I'm not eating a lot of those things. But butter. The fat content in butter is higher in France than in...
A lot higher.
It's about 10, even as much as 12 and 15% higher, isn't it?
What happened? Why?
They have better cows.
Well, I mean, it ought to be, for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it tastes better.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really is a world of difference, that 10% of that 12%, right?
My understanding is that there's a lot of moisture. Let's call it what it is, water.
In our butter.
Water and some milk solids. I mean, I want to say that it's a high percentage more water in our butter as opposed to European flour.
You're correct. And, I mean, my guess would be you can make more butter if you add more water to it. It's going to go further.
Yeah.
That's just, like, cheap. They're just trying to sell us a product with less butter in it.
I'm not saying that, but that's sure what it looks like. But also, I mean, you take away the fat, you take away the flavor, and if you look at it, I mean, it's the European butter versus our butter looks anemic. I mean, it's rich, it's yellow, it's buttery. It's the same with everything else. I mean, all of their dairy is that way. I mean, your creme fraiche is like sour cream with a lot more fat in
it.
And it tastes that way. It's wonderful.
I have heard that if you speak French to your cows, they produce a much richer milk.
It does help.
So, you have to take that into consideration. Italian, French, German.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. Butter that has more fat content tastes better. Cheese that has more fat content tastes better. You go to Paris, at least the last time I was there, which was a while ago, you walk down the street and there's no obesity, or there's very little obesity compared to here, and yet they're eating these things that are much heavier than what we do. What's going on?
Well, they're not eating that much of it, for one thing.
And they're walking everywhere.
And they smoke a lot of cigarettes. I think that if you start smoking maybe 3 packs, I'm just kidding. No, really, they do. They eat smaller portions, and it's everywhere you go. I mean, you go to restaurants, and there is no all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And at first, it's shocking, but then you spend time there, and you come back here, and you think, oh, my Lord, the plates are bigger here. Mm-hmm. The plates are bigger wherever you may buy a plate in a home store or in a restaurant, right?
Right.
And so they really do eat less. They do not snack. There is not a salty snacks or a sweet snacks aisle, per se, in the grocery store.
Their access to fresh produce is exponentially greater than it is here.
Exactly.
And they're an agricultural country, so they've got farmers all over the place.
But also, in Paris, you don't see heavy people, because in Paris, everybody walks everywhere.
Yeah.
They are always
on
their feet. And I don't know how they do it in those high heels, but they are always walking. And they did a study, and they calculated that an average Parisian walks a minimum of 2 miles a day, which
very
is considerable. The other thing is that if you go out into the countryside, you do find heavy people. Not fat and obese, but much heavier than they are in the cities, whether it's Saint-Nazaire, which is a little city, or Nantes, a smaller city, or Paris. Outside in the countryside, there are people that look like farmers.
I think that's true.
Maybe it's because they're farmers.
No, I think it's because they're not actually walking off what they eat. They probably also eat larger portions.
I think that's true.
428-1393. We have made the challenge.
Woo.
Yay!
Woo.
But we want to get to $1,000 for this hour. So
easy.
428-1393 is the number. Yes, it is easy. Elise Pierce. Oh, Mary Lynn LeBlanc is talking to us from the control room.
Yes, lots of thanks.
Yay!
Go ahead. Jenny Barsky.
Yay!
Fabian West of Motorado
Motorcycle Club and the Good Dogs.
Oh, wow. Elizabeth West.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Elaine Sullivan.
Yay.
And we have Mervin and Linda from El Paso and Santa Fe. Wonderful show. You're making them hungry.
Yay. Get those cookbooks. How many are left? Do we have any left?
I'll let you know.
Okay. 428-1393. Now, Elise, you're going to be at the farmer's market tomorrow morning. Signing books, presumably chatting with people.
I may chat a little bit.
Yeah.
I will chat. I'll talk. I'll sign books. And hang out as long as I can.
From 9:30 to 11:30.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, aren't you good?
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Getting the numbers and dates right, Diane Karp. Elise Pierce, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for your generosity in donating these books.
Certainly.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And while we're taking that break, call 428-1393. And we're back. It's the KSFR Fun Drive, 428-1393. Diane Karp and Rob DeWalt giving us the calendar of what's happening this weekend. And that means I don't have to do anything. Except talk about the cat.
Well, the cat. Do you want it?
You have to facilitate it. We can begin with the kitty, if you like.
We can begin with the kitty. Now, why don't you talk about the cover of the Pasa Tiempo?
The cover of the Pasa Tiempo is a beautiful glossy cover announcing the 56th season of the Santa Fe Opera. And it's Tosca. And the Santa Fe Opera 2012 opens Friday with Tosca.
Tonight. Yeah, tonight is Friday.
Tonight.
There is a huge package in Pasa Tiempo about the Santa Fe Opera season this year, filled with wonderful, wonderful stories. A lot of them written by Mr. James Keller.
Who's fabulous.
Who's fabulous and did, I mean, we're calling this the James Keller issue.
He's one of the best music critics, music writers anywhere.
Absolutely.
In the United States of America and beyond.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that statement. That there's veracity in that statement. If anyone doubts it, I'm moving to Costa Rica.
Every time I hear every time I hear veracity, I want to make a limerick.
Veracity.
Tenacity. Anyway,
I'm not going to go there because my mind's usually in the gutter.
Let's talk about the cat.
Okay.
Cats of all ages are available for adoption, not only from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, which we always talk about, but from Felines and Friends, a local cat rescue and placement organization. And this week's featured cat is Norm. Though a bit shy at first, Norm warms up quickly and becomes a really sweet, affectionate lap cat who loves to be petted. He'll make a great addition to the family. He's a short, stocky boy with short black and white tuxedo coat. If you're interested in adopting Norm, please call 505-316-2281. You could also write to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, or you can Google Felines and Friends New Mexico, and you'll find their website.
So I often talk about exhibitions that are important, that are opening, and I always try when there's an exhibition closing to remind people of the last day that they get to see it. And today is the last day to see the very important Nancy Holt Sightlines exhibition.
It is one of the most important
exhibitions that the Art Institute has ever done. And in fact, I think it's probably one of those situations where art history is being made. And it's quite extraordinary. It takes a little bit of time. The work is beautiful. There's comfy chairs to sit in and good headphones if you want to go and check out the videos. 9 to 5 today at the Santa Fe Art Institute. The other thing that's going on is lots of openings tonight.
Lots of openings.
So there's a great opening at Bellas Artes of wildflower and garden flower paintings by Robert Kushner that's worth checking out. Tonight is the ongoing aspects of Currents 2012, which is the Santa Fe International New Media Festival. And at the CCA tonight in the Munoz Waxman Gallery, you will find the Vanish series, video installations by Mary Songas, who's a very talented artist from Albuquerque. So it's definitely worth checking out. Another thing is the beautiful exhibition called In the Absence of Others that's at the James Kelly Contemporary down there in the rail yard. That's the recent work of Nick Nicosia. Mm-hmm. And Nick Nicosia, in our conversations, is a Texan.
Yes.
Who moved here from Texas, I guess, in 2004. And the photographs are beautiful. They're new work that really reflects his years in Santa Fe and that transformation of the work. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely.
There's a new gallery in town. It's the Wade Wilson Art, and that's over there on Canyon Road. Nice in a time when the economy is so tight to see some new life coming into Santa Fe with some new galleries. And that is a beginning. The William Siegel Gallery has new paintings by Joanne Lafrac. It's called Treasure Sites. And Joanne's a very creative artist who often used plexiglass and scratched into it and then let light shine through it to create drawings in shadow. These are new paintings, definitely worth checking out tonight at William Siegel, also in the rail yard. And the other thing is Zane Bennett Contemporary. Tonight has the opening of Staying Ahead of the Beast, which is a beautiful
retrospective as well as recent work exhibition by our own James Havard. So all of them worth checking out.
Definitely. There's
ladies and gentlemen, wait a minute.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It's the KSFR Fun Drive. Don't forget, there's three books left, three of the Cowgirl Chef books. And so you can get one, two, or all three of them. In fact, you can make a donation of three times what you normally would and get all three books and give them away for Christmas or for the 4th of July. 428-1393. We're about $400 shy of our $1,000 goal. So let's give calls right now. 428-1393. While we are telling you of all the different things that are going on this weekend, like tonight at 5:30 at Opposite Books on Baca Street, right near the corner, there's a reading and book signing with Burning Books, three Quadrant Series authors, including Thomas Frick, L.K. Larson, and Melody Sumner Carnahan. And Melody will have a guest reader, Sarah Skenazy, and Michael Sumner will be there. He's the designer of this wonderful little boxed book set. It's terrific. I will be introducing them, and the food and beverages are provided by Counterculture. So for more information, you can call Upsit at 428-0321. Check out Burning Books on the web, and it's tonight at 5:30.
Also tonight at CCA, if you're going over there to see Mary Songus's work, you'll also be able to check in and hear Garden 2 House. It's a live music and visual media by Santa Fe's own Chris Jonas, and it features the Tilt Brass Experimental Music Collective, the House Quartet. CCA Artist Reception is at 5:30 tonight, and it also will be performed tomorrow, Saturday, June 30th at CCA. So the other things that are going on in terms of performance, Bust Circus Camp, Wise Fool's summer program, is presenting Freedom. And that's the performance of acrobatics, trapeze acts, clowns, and spoken word performances of all of the people who were involved in the summer workshops. And this is a demonstration of women doing athletic, creative things that are often the domain of men in terms of performance and presentation. So three cheers for Wise Fool. Head over. They're also performing on Saturday as well. And the last thing we already talked about on my list for Friday.
Can I mention an exhibit that for some reason did not make it into Positiempo, but
yes.
I think it's going to be a good one. Red Dot Gallery is having a summer gallery opening today from 4:30 to 7:30. Now, I'm not sure exactly how long the show is up, but it's a summer gallery opening, and they're about to hit their second year of being open. And the show is going to have some new artists accompanying their existing roster of artists. Lots of emerging talent up in there, and it's a wonderful gallery. It's you know, a lot of people are still after a couple of years aren't really aware that it's around, and this is it's kind of a treasure. I mean, in terms of emerging artists, this is a really awesome gallery. A lot of people from Santa Fe Community College work from them. So 4:30 tonight.
Excellent.
Go.
And when you were mentioning Wade Wilson art a moment ago, Diane, I got an email from our dear friend Ted Flicker that he's one of the artists in that show.
Fabulous. I didn't know that. I actually called and no one answered the phone. I wanted to know which artists were in there. So bravo.
Yep.
It's pretty exciting. And there's another connection between Texas and Santa Fe. Wade Wilson is actually a big Houston gallery doing very exciting things.
And tomorrow night, from 6 to 9 at Pronzo upstairs, David Geist will be releasing his new CD, Move On. And he has been playing upstairs at Pronzo for years. And you can now check it out and go congratulate David tomorrow night.
From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow and Sunday, June 30th and July 1st, Steve Lambert, who is one of the most amazing sort of societal provocateurs who's in the arts, and Rob wrote a wonderful piece on him in PASA, is going to be offering a workshop, and it's titled Creating a Crowdsourced Wiki for Santa Fe, and it takes place at the Art Institute from 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. It's open to the entire community. And what they're proposing to do, because that's Steve's sort of medium, is to build a web-based city guide for Santa Fe that has the sort of unlikely aspects that aren't usually covered in most of the media and on most of the websites. And people will be able to, once it's created and posted, to continually add to sort of cultural travelers and creative observations of Santa Fe to build the inside-out view of Santa Fe.
My understanding is that at least in the beginning, it's going to be sort of an invite-only thing. And I think, you know, you got to test drive these things.
Yes.
Make sure that people aren't sort of, you know,
dumping junk.
Promoting, mini golf.
Well, mini golf can be really
cool. Oh, it's
cool.
A lot of fun. There's a tripendicular one out at Santa Fe Place. It's like glow in the dark.
Yes, I was just going to go to the same place.
Okay.
Mary Charlotte's got her hand in the air.
I have my hand in the air because there's something very important going on tomorrow, which is called Bad Dogs for a Good Cause. And that's fine art portrait of your good dog to benefit the Espanola Valley Humane Society, sponsored by Jane Bernard Photography and Peggy Pfeffer from Bad Dog Design. And so basically, you have to make an appointment, but if you go to baddogdesign.biz, B-I-Z, or call 986-6146, they can tell you how to do it, and you make an appointment, you bring in your doggy, and Jane will, who's an amazing photographer, she's very, very good, will take a picture of your dog, and it will benefit the Espanola Valley Humane Society. And guess what? I'm bringing in milk and honey tomorrow.
I'm not surprised.
Are you kidding?
The Santa Fe Studio Tour, which is an open gallery tour of jewelers and potters and sculptors and painters, 41 of them, is going to take place Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And for maps of the various studios, you can call 983-6021.
In Independence Day, beer and barbecue and bands on the 4th of July at the Legal Tender.
Yeah.
They are open
in Lamy
Thursday through Sunday in Lamy, and that's a good place. And KSFR will be on the plaza, pancakes on the plaza.
Amen. One of the nicest things that reminds me constantly, every year I'm reminded, not constantly, sorry, every year I'm reminded of the fact that Santa Fe is kind of a small town.
It is.
And
indeed.
You get to see everybody and go out and have pancakes on the 4th of July. It's kind of sweet.
It is.
On Saturday, however, going back, you know me, I'm the linear one, there's a performance that I think people really need to know about. It's a collaboration between TheaterWorks and the high school in Mora.
Yes.
And it is extraordinary. Last year, was it? When TheaterWorks did Antigone in the empty swimming pool, which was phenomenal.
That was so good.
Phenomenal. A whole bunch of high school students came down from Mora with their teacher. And after the performance, they all met and talked with Olson, and the director of TheaterWorks. And he agreed to go up to Mora and started a project which promises to be extraordinary. And on Saturday night and also on Sunday, they're going to be performing at the New Mexico School for the Deaf. They're going to be performing an evening of stories and music that was a collaborative project of trying to bring the contemporary as well as the history of story in Mora County. And it should be quite extraordinary. So that's this evening and on Sunday.
And KSFR Music Series Cafe Series Concert at Museum Hill Cafe will continue on Friday the 5th of July at 7 o'clock. For tickets, call 428-1527. It'll be Greg Ruggiero and Brian Wingard and Michael Glynn and John Trent Acosta. So that's happening the day after the 4th of July. And
that's the Thursday, Mary Charlotte.
Day after the 4th of July.
Right.
And I hear a deep, loud hum, which tells me Mary Lynn wants to say thank you.
I'm the one that's humming. Okay. Yes. I mean, so many people have been calling in throughout the show. It's been pretty busy here. It's quiet at the moment, though.
Well, that means that we haven't said the words
428-1393
quite enough.
And thanks goes to Craig O'Hare.
Well, thank you, Craig.
Ben Swan, who loves you and
Yay.
All that you do for people and animals.
Thank you, and so does he.
Yes, indeed.
Joanne Hope.
Yay.
Ellen Bradbury and Ed Reed.
Lovely.
And Deborah Madison.
Yay. Woo! Thanks to all of you. Keep those calls coming because we're trying to break our $1,000 goal for this hour. And, you know, we could exceed it. We don't have to just meet the goal. We can exceed the goal. What do you think?
I think that's always our job, is to exceed expectation.
Mm-hmm. 428-1393 is the number. And by the way, tomorrow morning on Camp Lovewave, part two of Taryn Lovewave's hour-long conversation with former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, find out what happened to the third season of his hit TV show on True TV, Conspiracy Theories.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Hey, can I mention two fundraisers real quick?
Yes.
Okay. Saturday, over there at Santa Fe Soul is the School Time Duds. I believe this is the 10th one. It's an annual clothing drive it's a fundraiser to get clothes for underprivileged kids. There's going to be live music with Stellar by Night, Traveler in Pain, the Rhubarbs, the Southwest Desert Blues Band. There's going to be food, a motorcycle rodeo, arts and crafts, raffles, and a motorcycle rally. That kicks off from noon to 7 p.m. out there. You can call 424-7395. That's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, there's a benefit concert for Zelle Rodriguez. Now, Zelle is the daughter of a local musician named Carlos Rodriguez and his beautiful wife. And Zelle was born premature at 16 ounces. And she is in neonatal care at the moment, I believe, in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
And they are at her side and are not able to work at the moment. So all these musicians are going to get together from 4 to 10 p.m. on Sunday at Santa Fe Soul and have a fundraiser to help them out. Yes. And so that's 4 to 10 p.m. at Santa Fe Soul. Entry is sliding scale. If you go to soulofsantafe.com, you can find out more information. And also, guitarist Roberto, now is it Capocchi?
Capocchi.
Capocchi.
It's Roberto, Italian.
Oh, it's Italian.
It's Italian.
Wonderful guitarist is going to be performing July 7th at Gig Performance Space. Now, I don't have a time, but those things generally start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you can probably go look
to gigsantafe.com.
Right. Yeah. I'll see if I have a notice about that, too. And then tomorrow morning, there is an herb workshop with Deborah Madison. Speaking of Deborah Madison. And it's from 9 to 11 at the Rail Yard Park Community Room. And let's just commend the Rail Yard Park folks, the Rail Yard stewards, for doing so many activities there.
Yes.
It's been a stellar
spring and summer so far.
Yes. Yes. And Deborah Madison is one of the great chefs of the world and a fabulous gardener. So this is an opportunity for people to have an up-close experience with someone who is simply world-class.
And I see that, yes, you're right, it's 8 o'clock on Saturday, July 7th, Roberto Capocchi at Gig on 2nd Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at 11 o'clock on Sunday, July 1st, at Collected Works Bookstore, a conversation with Farron Dancer, founder and executive director of Unicopia, talking about the grassroots cultural evolution of sustainability.
Exciting.
Yes.
If we can move to Monday night, Steve Lambert, advertising and public space artist, is going to be talking about his work at the Santa Fe Art Institute at 6 p.m.
Okay, but before that, I have been told that the phones are quiet and we are not at our $1,000 goal yet, so that is very not good.
No, everyone needs... Just think about it. You step into the shower, you turn the knobs, no water. You go to your refrigerator, no light, bad sign, no electricity. If you don't pay your bills for your water or your electricity or your heat, you don't get any. And one of the things that happens with public radio, especially a community-driven public radio, is that we all count on KSFR for information about politics, about arts, about literature, about just community events. And if we went to the radio and hit the button and turned the knob and nothing came out, we'd all be devastated and we'd be underinformed. We'd be sitting in the dark, metaphorically.
Yeah.
So in order to keep it all of this happening, you have to pay your bills. And the bills are small compared to the cost of electricity or water in this town.
And the amount you pay is voluntary.
And it's voluntary. Right. And
sliding scale bill.
You get BBC. You get Democracy Now. You get
Rob DeWalt.
Rob DeWalt. You get Mary Charlotte Domondi. You get so much. And it's unfiltered, really important information. So everybody needs to be a responsible citizen. It's all part of that July 4th small town. We have to help each other, and we have to support all of those services that support all of us. So go to your phone right now, pick it up, and dial 428-1393, and please give what you can. And if it's easier for you, you can simply call and arrange to have $5, $10 taken out of your monthly credit card bill. And that's a sustaining membership. And that allows for the radio station to have a predictable flow of income. Please.
And we are getting so close to our goal. We had a little flurry. We like flurries.
We love flurries. Let's flurry again.
Yes, let's flurry all the way to the goal, which is, what, $1,000?
Yes, $1,000. I think we're going to exceed it.
Well, one of the things, talking about great resources, besides Monday night's talk at the Art Institute with Steve Lambert, is the Santa Fe Opera Backstage Tours. Every day, weekday, from at 9 a.m., you can show up at the opera, and you can take a backstage tour, which is phenomenal, and see literally, Deus Ex Machina. That's a term that comes from Greek theater, which is how they made the gods go up and down. Mm-hmm. It's a theater term. And so you can have an up-close experience of this great phenomenon, just wandering around, being toured through the various sets for all the amazing operas that go on. Total theater.
Right. It's something that not a lot of people get a chance to do.
Exactly.
In other places.
Exactly.
You know. Did I mention that the Juan CD Flamenco Theater Company is having their fifth anniversary summer season?
No.
Did we mention this?
No.
Okay.
They're great.
It's June 29th to August 12th, Tuesdays through Sundays at 8 p.m.
Up at the Lodge.
And so it starts tonight.
Yes.
Up at the Lodge at Santa Fe over there on 750 North St. Francis Drive. It's a beautiful drive. And for tickets, you can call 988-1234, which is... The Lenzic.
Yes,
right?
It is. The Lenzic Ticket Service.
And this is a very, very sort of refined show. And Juan is amazing.
Yes. He is a wonderful flamenco dancer and has a great company and
so
great choreography and music and everything else. By the way, we talked last week about a very wonderful black kitty named Shakespeare who needs a new home. And Shakespeare now has an email address. He still needs a new home. And the email address is shakespeare@newmexico.com. And if you want to call about this wonderful cat who seems to be better off in a house with adults and a little bit of a kind of a quieter, not so many dogs and animals and that kind of thing around. But if you have that and you would like a beautiful, beautiful black cat, sort of brownish black cat, you can call, 204-6767 or write to shakespeare@newmexico.com.
There's a great Last Friday art walk that's taken place at the Rail Yard. And you've got Zane Bennett, Charlotte Jackson, David Richard Gallery, the James Kelly Contemporary, William Siegel, Ty Gallery, and Llewellyn Galleries. So much art in one place. Definitely. Oh, it's on my list. That's Thursday. I'm compulsive. In concert on... Oh, we have to finish Tuesday. We'll get there. Tuesday, there's the
you
house.
You may wonder what's happening. It's that there's nonverbal communication going on in the background.
House concert. There, Andrew Weathers, Jeremy Bleich ensembles at High Mayhem. It's a part of the chamber music series. I recommend it to you. It's at 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening, and also Tuesday evening, and you are probably going to talk about this, is the Reverend Horton Heat.
Yes, the Reverend Horton Heat, the king of sort of contemporary rockabilly. Well, he's been doing it for 25 years. I'm sure he's been doing it longer, but him and his band have been touring for 25 years. They have a new sort of box set, DVDs, I believe it's a two-album CD in there, and that's coming out. Now, of course, as soon as you say that, I lost the information about when... That is...
When they're coming out or when he's performing?
When here it is.
He's performing at 7 p.m. Santa Fe Soul.
Yes. Yes. And that is... So yes. And then the CD doesn't release until July 24th.
Right. But you get to hear him.
On a completely different and almost random-seeming note, I got an email about a workshop that's happening called Refreshing the Year Love, Learning How to Keep Your Family Intact. And it goes starts on July 3rd and goes through the whole summer, and it's an open group presented by Lonnie Solutions and Treatment Center. For more information, you can call 699-9762. And this is, I think, somebody who works with people who are struggling with what happens to the family when children are born and the adjustment and things like that.
It's kind of a psychological super glue, if you will, teaching people sort of how to make contact that then will hold. It's quite remarkable. I recommend it.
428-1393, by the way.
Oh, yes. 428-1393. And I should mention that at 6 p.m. Thursday, July 5th, the Santa Fe Bandstand Concert Series kicks off on the plaza with performances by the all-female mariachi group Mariachi Buenaventura and the Tex-Mex rock icon Joaquin Carrasco. Now, David Lesch is unfortunately no longer with us. He passed away.
Huge loss.
Yeah, I mean, he was a beacon in our community, and he's gone. But the concert series and the work that Outside In Productions continues.
Absolutely, and it'll be every Thursday, all summer long.
Oh, it's Thursday. It's. I mean, there's a schedule in Paso Tiempo.
Oh, perfect.
And the dates are listed there. You can also go to outsideinproductions.org, I believe it is.
Super. But this is the inaugural concert this Thursday. And,
You
know, get through July 4th, eat all those pancakes. There's another thing happening July 4th, which is Santa Fe Clay's Summer Slide Lecture, which happens on Wednesday, July 4th. Sean Spangler is going to be talking at Santa Fe Clay at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Definitely worth it. And make sure you're there for the Santa Fe fireworks.
And Marilyn LeBlanc is in the control room and has things to tell us.
We have many thanks. Nancy Sutter.
Yay, Nancy Sutter. Thank you.
Okay, Miriam Joar.
Yay, Miriam.
And Craig and Michael did it online.
Wonderful.
And Diane Spivak Moss. I'm not sure if I got this.
I think it's Spivak.
Spivak. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
And guess what?
Anonymous.
Oh, yes, Anonymous. I always forgot the... Oh, yes, and then Jane Bernard from... she does photography here in town?
Yes.
Yes.
We talked about the Good Bad Dogs.
Yes.
Very, very busy. And guess what?
What?
Good news.
We made our challenge.
We not only made the challenge, we went over the challenge.
Yay! All right, it's time to go. We have 5 seconds left. Diane Karp, Rob DeWalt, thank you so much. Everybody, thank you.
Keep supporting KSFR.